I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sins and won the victory. I couldn't help but think as we were singing those words this morning together, how Jesus came to atone for those sins, to take away those sins of the world. He didn't just step out of heaven and climb up onto the cross and then rise up Easter morning. No, there was a whole lot of life in between. And while it may not have gone on for many, many years, and Jesus may not have died at a ripe old age, that we would have, what we would call a ripe old age, He lived a lot of life as He journeyed through this world. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him, because He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. It's interesting that Jesus does love us. He does call us to know Him. And while, yes, all our love is due Him, He calls us to return that love by loving one another, by caring for one another, by building relationships, by building lives that are based on relationships, just like He did. Last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus. We talked about that's one of those places, those sacred places where we can meet God, and our friendships, whether they be with God or anybody else in this world, have to start somewhere. But the beginning of a friendship isn't just a moment that we mark and forget about. It's the beginning of a journey together. And we see that come alive in a very real way today in the Gospel of John that we heard Jim read a little bit earlier. John had been teaching his disciples. He'd been teaching these students about life and faith. But all along, he was preparing them for the day when he would hand off those friendships to one who was coming that was greater than him. He kept saying that in all kinds of ways. Following the baptism, every time he would see Jesus, he would point out, there goes the one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There goes the one on whom I saw the Holy Spirit land, and we all heard heaven open up and God tell us how pleased He was with him. And finally, in this kind of pointing to Jesus, something happens this morning. And those disciples step out in faith and they start to follow Him. And their footsteps are really the only thing that begin that journey. They follow along by Jesus, and John doesn't report them saying anything. But Jesus knows they're there in a very real way. And He turns around and He says, what do you want? What is it you're looking for? I think the bottom line is they didn't have a clue what they were looking for. But something happened deep inside of them that drew them to Him. And they wanted to know for themselves what this taking away the sin was all about. There was something about Him that just drew them to Him, and they wanted to know more. Have you ever met anybody in life like that? There just seems to be some essence about them that you want to know more about what they think of life. You want to spend some time with them and find out what's important to them. When Jesus says, what do you want? What do you say to that? Well, where are you staying? Where are you headed? Jesus says, well, come on. Come on. See for yourself. And really, that's where our faith journey begins, when we hear that invitation to come and to see for ourselves what a relationship with God is all about. And to realize that God builds a relationship with us as we build a relationship with others. We continue to work through this time of talking about friendships. And, you know, friendships mean a lot of different things to each one of us. And as I was thinking about the scriptures and I was thinking about the concept of friendship, I couldn't help but think of, wow, there's a lot of different reasons that we make friends. What are some of the reasons that we make friends as we go through life? Come to mind this morning.
Common interests.
Certainly, there's a place where we get drawn together.
Shared misery.
Yeah. That's a place where we can connect in all kinds of deep and real ways.
Companionship,
right. We weren't created to live in a bubble. We want to know we're not alone. We want to know when we are in misery and we can have somebody to turn to. That's something that's woven right into our DNA.
People to play with,
absolutely. We're all called to come to God as children. Sometimes we need to take that call seriously. There's some of the wonderful motives for making friends. Are our motives always so pure? I mean, do we ever make friends with people because of what they can do for us? Do we ever make friends because of where they might get us in life? Do we ever make friends because of what they have to offer? And sometimes we also make friends because of what we have to offer them. That's really what a relationship is all about, isn't it? Recognizing that we both have something to offer to this deal together. That's why God wants a relationship with each and every one of us. As I said, friendship is a journey. It's not something that just happens in the twinkling of an eye always. Sometimes, did you ever notice that sometimes making friends isn't always easy? Sometimes when we go through life together with our friends, there are things happen that make it difficult to get along and to stay together as friends. Sometimes friends aren't the people that we walk with every day. Sometimes friends are the people that we can go for long periods of time and not have anything to say, but yet come together. Not feel guilty about the time that's elapsed in between, but just kind of pick up right where we left off. We all need friends to get through this world, and we need friends that we need, again, there's all kinds of, different levels of friendship, I guess. You know, there are those that are really deep and a part of our whole life. And then there's those that are kind of, we're friends with on the surface, and then there's all of those in between. We live in a world where collecting friends is becoming an important part of life. If you spend any time on Facebook like I do, you'll know that many times there can be great competitions that emerge among people to see who has the most friends. It happens a lot with celebrities. You'll see them comparing who has the most friends with other celebrities out there. And are all those people on those pages friends when it comes right down to it? No. And I think tools like Facebook and email are, I'm so thankful for that in my life because it's allowed me to stay connected with people that I haven't seen in years, with family that live too far away to get together with on a regular basis, to really share quickly what's going on in life, and it's been a good thing. But I also think things like Facebook and email can't take the place of those friends that we really need to hang out with. They really need to go back into a place and just talk about what's going on in life. The scriptures say in all kinds of different ways that when two or three are gathered together, when people come together in God's name, recognizing that God is with us in this journey through life, that God just kind of shows up there. Who are those friends that you like to just hang out with that make a difference in your life? Who are those friends that really enrich your life? Because, sometimes I think when we get, we live in a world that's busy and it's fast-paced and there's all kinds of things that are going on, and it's easy for life to get compartmentalized, isn't it? That, okay, we've got the folks over here at work that, we're friends with or we're not friends with and have to spend time with them anyways. And then there's maybe our spouse, that's often another compartment. And maybe there's a couple of other close friends over here. Then there's those children that are part of our life, and they're over here. Then there's organizations that we're involved with. Well, that goes in this little room off to this side. And in all these different rooms, we have friends. All these different places, we have relationships. But who are the ones that we'll hang out with for the whole day, like the disciples did with Jesus, so that we can see the whole picture? And so that we can share the whole picture? And so that we can look at our lives without looking at our lives in little compartments?
and see the bigger picture of all that's going on there. Who are those people that you spend time with? Who are those people that you're missing spending time with? Who are those people that as we journey into a new year, maybe God is calling you to reach out and to reconnect with in some real way? The other thing I love about our friendship and about friendships and our journey through life is, you know, there are some friendships that we really, again, maybe it's because of where somebody can help us get in life, so we begin to build a friendship with them. We know where that friendship's going. We know where we want it to end. We know what it's like when we're going to get there, or at least we think we know what it's like when we get there. But these guys, when Jesus says to them, come and see, they accept that invitation and they don't really know where it's going to end up. And I think some of the most meaningful and deepest relationships and friendships that I've ever had in life, I really never knew where they were going to end up. You know, it started in some small way over interest, over something that kind of forced us to spend time together, something we had to do in the community or whatever. But oh, the places it's led. Oh, the places we've been. Oh, the joys we shared along the way. Oh, the misery we've wallowed through in the middle of it all. How about those deep friendships in your life? Did you know where they were going to end when you started them? Did you know where they were going? Did you have an end of results you were looking for? Or has it been a journey that just continues to add to the richness of your life? What about this is one of those scriptures I think it also invites us to look at the relationships around us, but it also invites us to look at our relationship with God. Is God a God who sits in a far off place, dealing with us through the trials and tribulations, leading us like puppets from one situation to the next? Or is God a friend who's willing to step out in the world and to leave it all behind in order to get dirty with us as we wallow and as we sort through and as we dance our way through all the different seasons of our lives? I'm going to invite us to take just a minute. I'm going to sit down for a minute and just invite us to take a minute to quietly think about that image of God as a friend with us and where we are with that. And to think about those friends in our life that God has worked through and that we've journeyed with, and how God might be calling us to respond. Why do we need God as a friend? Why do we need those deep friendships with one another as we journey through life? Those are questions that we could sit here and ponder and talk about and even avoid in some ways for days at a time. But I just want to leave you with a quick story. A story of a dad that was doing his best to raise his kids up in the faith, to share with them the importance of a relationship with God, to teach them about prayer in some real and meaningful way. And so the only way he could think of teaching his son was the same way he'd been taught. And so each day he modeled once or twice kneeling down by the bed and saying a prayer before they went to bed. But there came a point where he couldn't be there all the time. And quite frankly, he had some other things that needed to be done. So they could just pray by themselves. And so this one son in particular, he would send him off to bed and he'd say, now don't forget to say your prayers and to remember that you're never alone. And so his son would do this each and every day. But then there was one particular day where things hadn't gone well in school. It was one of those days where the teacher didn't quite get everything that was happening in his life, where his friends surely didn't understand the way that he was acting with all the situations they were dealing with going through the day. In fact, it was one of those days when just nothing seemed to go right, where the pencil box ended up dumped on the floor and the milk carton didn't quite make it into the trash can. And it just seemed like nobody understood what he was going through. And so, as always, his dad sent him off to pray. And his dad sat down and continued to read the paper. But a short time later, his son came out and he pulled on the paper. And he said, "Dad, I'm just wondering, would you come and just sit with me for a while?" And he said, "Now, son, you know that this is that time of day when you need to kneel by the bed and talk to God about life." And so he went back in and he knelt by his bed. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He told God about the spilled pencils. He told God about the spilled milk. He told God about his friends and his teachers who just didn't get it. You ever have days like that? But it didn't bring him any peace. He still couldn't get to sleep. And so he trudged back out into the living room and he pulled on the paper again. He said, "Dad, will you just come sit with me for a little while? I just can't get to sleep." His father said, "Well, son, some days are like that. Some days you just got to pray again. You just got to keep praying until you go to sleep." And so he went back in and he tried praying some more. He tried to use different words, hoping he could find just the right one to make it all okay so he could sleep again. But that word just didn't come. And that peace just was never there. So he trudged back out into the living room again and he pulled on the paper. He said, "Dad, I just can't get to sleep. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and God's heard all the things that have gone on. But I just can't get to sleep." And the tears were beginning to fall down his cheeks because he was getting tired. And his father said, "Yes, son, but God is right there if you just keep talking." And finally, in frustration, he looked up with those tears running down his face and he said, "Yeah, but sometimes I need God with skin on, Dad." Why did Jesus step out of heaven? Why did he not just climb right up onto the cross? Because God knows that we all need God with skin on. God knows we all need somebody that we can just go hang out with and spend time with and share what life is all about. God knows that deep inside of us, whether we realize it and recognize it or want to admit it or not, we need to know that we're never alone. And there's somebody that can understand us even when we're not sure we understand ourselves anymore. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the friendship that you invite each and every one of us into. We thank you for the way that you surround us with people that we can build relationships with. As we remember that those friendships start in all kinds of different ways and they're lived out in even more different ways, that through it all you're at work, God. So continue to open our hearts and our minds to the importance of deep friendships. A deep friendship with you. A deep friendship with others that we walk through this world with. Because the bottom line is, each and every one of us comes to those places in our life where we need to know that you're there. Where we can experience God with skin on. So thank you for the ways that you make it happen. As we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.